The Jericho Network on Westwood One.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pot of thunder and rock and roll, and it's back by popular demand. The classic album Clash, and this time it's all about Van Halen. I got Steel Panther singer Michael Starr and guitar player Satchel, along with Fozzy guitar player Rich Ward, here to break down and debate the merits of 1984 versus 5150. David Lee Roth's final record versus Sammy Hagar's first record. Guitar solos versus keyboards. Producer Ted Templeman versus Mick Jones of Foreigner. And of course, we do the song by song debate with the final vote at the end. You can weigh in too. Just hit us up on the Twitter at Talk is Jericho. Let us know what songs you like, which album is your favorite. See if you agree or disagree with me, Rich, Satchel, and Michael Starr. And of course, you'll get so much more than just our take on Van Halen. You hear stories about how we all first got introduced to Van Halen's music, some of the concerts we've seen by the bands, one of which was not a Van Halen fan initially, which one of us was not. A crazy but true story. Get ready to rock with us, and get ready to rock with us with Fozzy worldwide as we continue the Judas Rising tour. We're doing the Rock Allegiance show main stage in Camden, New Jersey this Saturday, October 6th. Then we're hitting the Chris Jericho cruise, the Rock and Rager at Sea, Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea, and we're playing three sets. You can go check out that schedule at chrisjerichocruise.com. And if you haven't booked your cabin, there's less than 25 left. You don't want to miss it. Then Fozzy back to Australia, and the first time ever in New Zealand, November 7th in Auckland at the studio, November 9th in Melbourne at Max Watts, November 10th Sydney at the Manning Bar, 13th is Adelaide at the Gov, and the 14th is Brisbane at the Triffid. And we're hooking up with 3 Days Grace for a few days on their Canadian tour from November 21st to the 25th, Moncton, Halifax, Quebec City, and Montreal. Then we do a Fozzy headlining tour with Jared James Nichols and the Dead Set Society. That is in Arnprior, Ottawa area on the 26th of November. Then we head over to London. Then the 28th, we're in Toronto at the Rock Pile. Then on the 30th, we are in Thunder Bay, December 1st at the Burt in Winnipeg, a huge homecoming show, Burt and Cummings Theater. December 2nd is in Regina. The 3rd is in Edmonton at the Starlight Room. And the 4th is in Calgary at the Gateway, the final show of the Judas Rising Tour. So come check it out as we wind down the Judas Rising Tour that's been going for almost 19 months at that point in time. FozzyRock.com for all ticket information, including all VIP information, how you can come hang with us, get a private concert before the show, hang out with us, meet us, take pictures. I'll sign whatever you want. Go to FozzyRock.com and check out all VIP information. It's already sold out in Sydney and Melbourne for the VIPs. But if you're in Brisbane, Adelaide, Auckland, or all the Canadian dates, we still have plenty of spaces available for the VIP meet and greet. FozzyRock.com. So go check it out. We know how to rock and roll. And Van Halen knows how to rock and roll. And we're getting ready to do it right now. The classic album Clash, 1984 versus 5150. And we start now. Time to step, still making notes at Rich. And you did the same thing for the Aussie classic album Clash. You're a very studious guy when it comes to these.
I think that the nerd factor needs to be high with at least one individual.
And that would be you. I think Michael has Satchel's mic.
That's mine.
Well, you know what is mine.
Are we going already?
We start.
This is amazing. We already started.
We don't have big intros here. We can't afford them.
It'll be done in post.
We can.
It'll be done in post.
We'll put the Chris Jericho show.
Yeah. There you go. God,
some Rothisms
really
and stuff. And we're in the middle of a great tour. Do you know yesterday was the middle show?
Was it really?
So now we're on the last half of the tour.
Wasn't that amazing?
It was a great show yesterday.
So I feel like yesterday's show was like a kind of a climax.
What did we play?
Munich.
Munich.
Oh, it was great.
Montrose.
Great show. I had a great time after the show.
After the show?
Woohoo! I tell you, man.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
It was killer.
Big party after the show?
Big party. Oh, lots of people in catering.
It's funny because it's the one show that I didn't stick around for afterwards.
Yeah, it's weird you weren't there. I was wondering where you were.
It is kind of weird.
Because it was, there's street booze.
And saw you hanging out with those.
Lots of promoters hanging out, you know.
Lots of promoters, yeah. And,
really cute guys you were with, too.
Super hot dudes.
We were, this is actually, it's half Fozzy, half Steel Panther. We could form a super group. If that super group had two guitar players and two singers.
God, well, isn't that the definition of a super group? Jesus.
I grabbed dibs on rhythm guitar real quick on this one.
I'm waiting, I'm playing bass.
But we went to a German, fancy pants German restaurant with the famous German promoter, Ozzy Hope?
Yep.
Hop? Ozzy Hop.
Hop?
Yep. And it was great.
He's a great guy. And, you know, the coolest thing about going to dinner with a promoter, they're required to pay for everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's the only time where you get some of your money back.
That's right. If it's the record company, you know you're paying for
you're
it.
You're paying for it,
with the promoter, like at least, you know, because he's ripping us off anyways, so at least you're getting some of it back.
But he's a super sweet dude. It was a great time to
it was.
Out, break some bread, you know, with the band.
Yeah.
It was, hang out and be with you. I missed you, man.
It was great. It was great having dinner with you guys. I wish you wouldn't have worn, like, those tight little shorts you wore there.
Well, I mean, I didn't know what to wear for a German. I thought Lederhosen was proper.
Is that what those were?
Well, yeah. I mean, we're in Germany, right?
You know they make pink Lederhosen.
Well, pink leather Lederhosen.
Oh my God!
Are those the shorts?
With
the little suspenders. Yeah, somebody gave me a pair of shorts like that.
Really?
Black leather
Lederhosen.
Yep. Yeah.
There's a Steel Panther song in there somewhere.
That's a Speedo.
Pink leather Lederhosen.
Oh, it really is a Lederhosen.
Ow!
And it reminds me of David Lee Roth back in when he comes out. Did you see that one video when he comes out in the Lederhosen?
Oh, from here? Or is that when he's walking
down the street?
No,
he's walking down a bar holding a liter of, like, vodka.
Of hosen. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. A liter of hosen.
It's the classic Van Halen from, like, 1979 when he's walking down the street. I think it might be in Holland or something. He's like, excuse me, sir, are you aware of the American rock band Van Halen? And the guy's like, okay, Liebenstein, Steinstein.
No idea
what he's talking about. But what we're talking about today is a great segue here.
Thank you.
You're
welcome.
Thank you so much, Michael. Van Halen and the classic album Clash, which we had a couple ideas for, and we settled on 1984 versus 5150, the last David Lee Roth record and the first Sammy Hagar record. So
two numbered records too, which is ironic because
exactly.
So strange.
Both records have numbers in their title.
Yes, right.
And if you add those two numbers up, do you know what number you get?
666.
The number of the beast. It's weird.
That's really crazy. Van Halen was into that sort of thing, but they might have been the worst out of all of them. Because Van Halen in Dutch means devil
driver, right?
Devil driver.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Fon meaning so devil, and Halen meaning fuker, which is the English transition. But it's interesting, too, because I guarantee at least one of us here has a password on our phone or
we talked about this once.
For a credit card.
I've changed my passwords.
To 1951?
No, not my birthday. No, dude, I changed it. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Guess
what it is, I'll tell you what it
is. Well, that's still one of my favorite moments in my podcast history when we were doing one with Steel Panther. I had to check the time on my phone, so I had to put my password in, and Ralph goes, what's your password? I see. He goes, I bet you can guess it. And I said, well, I bet you I can guess yours, because there's only two passwords that any rocker has.
Yeah, 5150 or 2112.
Yeah, that's it. And mine was 2112 and yours was 5150.
Mine's not 5150 anymore.
Well, I know, but at the time
it's my thumbprint.
Oh, okay, so you can't guess that.
Which has tattooed 5150 on it.
But I did change my password to 1989.
1984?
Yeah, 1989.
Oh, 1989.
Why is that? Yeah. First Extreme record?
That's the year when everything was at its height for heavy metal. It's the best time.
1989, yeah. Interesting.
And nobody saw it coming.
Wow.
Two years later, it was done.
Done.
That's the year I had my my penis reduction surgery as well. So that's kind of a cool year.
Thanks for donating yours to mine. I appreciate that.
Rich just didn't take a problem, though.
Yeah, I've had four donors.
Oh, God.
His body keeps rejecting the penis.
My rejection is, percentages are high.
Okay. At least it can happen.
Never quit, right? Never quit.
Let's talk a little bit about our love for Van Halen.
Yes.
I love me some Van Halen.
Hey. You guys are Van Halen disciples on the Panther side of things, I would assume.
Yes.
When did you start listening to Van Halen, your first memories of Van Halen, etc.?
Oh, go for it. You tell.
You want me to tell? Yeah.
Yeah, you go first.
If I accidentally call Satchel Russ, it's because it's my pet name for him. And if I accidentally call Michael Ralph, it's because it's my other pet name.
Oh, you're so sweet.
If I call Satchel Ralph, it's because I'm confused.
I sometimes, and if this is Satchel talking, if I sometimes call Michael bitch, it's just it's a working relationship.
It just happens that way. And it's okay, Ross. You can call me that anytime you want.
Would you call me?
Ross?
Listen, bitch.
What?
Well, be careful what you comment.
There's an example. He was just using it as an example.
Yeah. You can't say that word on
it.
It
was Van Halen 1. But the first thing I heard from Van Halen was Eruption, actually.
That's the way it should be for a guitar player.
That was the first thing I heard, and I was like,
where did you hear it?
I heard it at a swimming pool. It sounds weird. It was
in the
summertime.
Pool? Under the water?
Somebody was like, it was at the swimming pool, and I actually had a, strangely enough, I had a Speedo on.
Wow.
It looked very much like your Lederhosen the other night.
Nice.
And I was just cruising around, showing the ladies my junk.
Yeah, your 8-year-old junk.
I was 32 at the time. But
still had 8-year-old junk.
Yeah, still looking like 8-year-old junk. But yeah, I remember hearing it and just being like, whoa, 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 what's going on, dude? And, you know, that was it, man.
Well, let's talk about this for a second, because you think about about Eruption, and now it's you know, the greatest guitar solo ever. But when you first heard this, if you were of age hearing it in 1978, no one had ever heard anything like that before on guitar, correct?
Right, it was pretty...
Think it was guitar? Like, did you know what he was doing?
I didn't know what he was doing. I didn't even play guitar at that point. Right. But it was really fast and really awesome sounding, you know? And it was probably, I mean, it's stuff that had been done before, but he popularized it. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. Like the 200 tapping, like, you know, there was guys like Robert Fripp doing that, but nobody knows who Robert Fripp is.
No, he plays for,
he didn't get any pussy.
Hey, man. Oh, my God.
If you can get pussy from finger tapping, you're ready.
Nobody has ever said, oh, my God, I sucked Robert Fripp's dick last night.
Not even his wife. Said that.
Yeah, the first time I heard Van Halen was Eruption, too, as well.
How?
My brother turned me on to it.
Ah, yeah. That's always the way, right?
And I don't know, you turned me on to a book called Running with the Devil by Noel
Monk. Wait, there was an Eruption 2? I thought there was just Eruption 1.
There's 1 and 2.
Yeah. 1 and 2? You heard 2 first?
2 didn't make the cut. They did Spanish Fly instead, but somewhere out there. Yeah. It's actually Michael Anthony played it.
Oh, shit. Yeah. No wonder he can't hear it.
My brother had a promotional pressing of that record.
Of?
It had Running with the Devil on it, Eruption, You Really Got Me, and Jamie's Crying.
Gotcha.
And it was a color red.
Oh, nice.
I don't know how he got it. I think he was dealing coke at the time.
right. And that's what he paid for coke in the 70s.
So he got it. And this is supposed to be like the biggest band. Van Halen is supposed to be a really big band.
Was cocaine being done in the music industry back then?
In the 70s? God, I'm not sure.
Yes.
Really?
I actually did cocaine while listening to
that. That was a sarcasm.
At 9 years old.
I'm going to explain the sarcasm.
And it was killer.
Yeah, right. If you start Van Halen...
The phaser on his guitar solo...
You start Van Halen.
If you start Van Halen off the Van Halen record, dude, if you start cocaine off the Van Halen record, it's not much more rock and roll than that.
Dude, the phaser on that on the guitar solo? Oh, my God. You know, he set that phaser to kill.
Yeah. It was originally stunned.
No one used a phaser like that, guys. Let's just remember that.
Rich?
Same. Eruption. You know, the crazy thing is that song was on the radio. People never believe that, but...
Really?
Like, oh, yeah. Eruption was on American radio. It was like the only time in history where there was a standalone guitar solo, you know, just spun at, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But it would always segue into You Really Got Me. So
that
always...
you have to have one. Can't be without
kind of like Living, Loving, Made. And,
Heartbreaker.
You can't lift the needle before We Are the Champions.
Right. Yeah. Journey has the same... Same pair up too.
That's true. Just the same.
Feeling some way. Yeah. Feeling that way. And just the same.
Anytime.
Feeling that way.
Yeah.
So for me, growing up in Winnipeg, it was a huge Aussie city and a huge Van Halen city.
Yeah, that's my kind of town.
I just grew up and hearing about Van Halen, but not really knowing any of their music. And one day I was walking home from school and I found a guitar pick on the street. And it said VH Michael Anthony, and I didn't know who it was. So I took it to my guitar teacher, who was working at Kent's Music. He ended up being Brad Roberts from the Crash Test Dummies.
Really?
You guys remember that
song?
We're
just talking about those guys
really?
The other day.
Yeah. He used to be a guitar teacher, and I showed him the pick. I said, who is this? He goes, oh, that's the bass player from Van Halen. So somebody had got it at the show or something.
And dropped it.
Dropped in the street. So I always had this Michael Anthony Van Halen pick.
Wow.
And that's when I finally started listening to Van Halen. I think when the US Festival came out on TV, that was the first time I heard some Van Halen. And it's like, it's Happy Trails, though. They didn't only shoot 3 songs.
Oh,
Running
dude.
With the Devil, You Really Got Me, and Happy Trails, I think. Yeah.
I was at that concert, dude.
Yeah,
you were there.
I was at the US Festival.
Shut up! No
way. I swear to God, man. Yep.
Dude, what do you remember about that?
Oh my God, I remember
getting drunk.
Remember, I didn't get. You know what? I was with my brother at the time, so I was carrying him around. He was hammered, right? And he just chaperoned me because I bought some tickets. But I saw Quiet Riot.
Yeah.
Saw Motley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Quiet
and
Riot.
Motley was like
first
in their prime.
Motley was first, yeah. And Quiet Riot was second.
Second, and then it was Ozzy.
Ozzy was on the bill, but they might not have been next. But I think it was
Triumph. No, it was Ozzy, then Triumph, then Judas Priest, then Scorpions, then Van Halen. What's that?
Everybody,
dude, it was killer. I didn't make it through the whole Van Halen set.
Uh-huh.
But it was killer.
Did you remember? Like, why didn't you make it? You had to go home.
I was just tired, man.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Even being a teenager, it wiped me out.
Because it's all day in the sun.
Dude.
We watched those videos, though. The Scorpions killed Van Halen that day.
The sun went down.
Van Halen was drunk. They were drunk at that show.
Yeah.
They were hammered. I remember walking into, Chris, I was walking in and I look and I see Motley on stage and I thought, these guys look really cool.
Amazing. Yeah. That was the skinniest Vince had ever been, dude.
Yeah.
Skinny Vince.
That might have even that might have been before their first record too. Like they were really a baby band.
Yeah, they were baby band.
They were like kind of on the bill.
I think that was with the Motley record, you know, with Livewire on it. And
yeah,
Too Fast for Love. Yeah,
right. So Van Halen gets huge over the years. We all become huge Van Halen fans. I never saw Van Halen with David Lee Roth, which sucks for me.
Now, I got to tell you though, when you first asked me to do this,
yeah,
I had some reservations about it because I hate Sammy Hagar.
Hey,
right? And I'm going to be straight with you, right?
Settle down.
That's what we want.
When he first joined Van Halen, I was mad.
Right. Mad. Yeah.
Totally. I'm like, this.
Right.
I don't want Bette Midler singing for Van Halen.
Whoa.
You know what I mean?
Remember
I swear to God, dude, really? I can't drive 55? That guy has no ounce of cool at all.
Wow.
And I was bummed, dude. I mean, it's coming off 1984 where David Lee Roth, Eddie Van Halen meet their... They're at their peak.
It's their peak.
Right.
You know, of their songwriting.
Yeah,
and
yeah, a lot of people
playing.
Felt that way. Yeah, a lot of people were mad.
Fucking, they broke up. I was so sad.
I know.
But now, in retrospect, 30 years later, I can appreciate.
You're a big Sammy fan.
Dave's an asshole, and Sammy, no,
wow.
I'm just kidding.
Wow.
It took me 10 years to get into 5150. I got into it in 1995.
Yeah.
Because I would not listen to it in 85, because I was a big Roth guy as well. And the first song on the radio that came out was Why Can't This Be Love? Mm. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Yeah, like, it's a pretty good song, but at the time, that's the best you got.
Yeah.
And then Roth comes out with, like, Yankee Rose.
Yeah.
And I was like, that would have been another good one.
It looked like a sign of things to come. Like, Roth is going to rule it, and Van Halen's going soft.
Yeah, and then, of course, we know what happened is what happened. But at the beginning, I think Dave won that first battle.
I don't know, dude.
What did you think? When
to guys like us, he won the first battle. It was like, oh, shit, Yankee Rose. Got Billy Sheehan and
Steve Vai.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, my God. And Van Halen's like, what the fuck is that? Dude, every teenage girl in the world was like, oh, my God, I love
it. It went to number one. It was their first album that ever went to number one. Did you know that, Rich?
Cool. I did know that. Okay, so for me, I had already abandoned Van Halen. Because when I heard Jump, I was like, I'm out.
Wow, that's another good point, too.
I'm out. Like, I was Priest and Maiden. I had already said, I'm done with this. Like, so my 13-year-old self had already transitioned over to metal. I was already listening to whatever the newest kind of heavy stuff. I was into Accept. I still love Scorpions, because Scorpions were able to still balance
heavy
riffs with, like, really cool melodic stuff, because I also loved Whitesnake. I like melodic. I also kind of was more into kind of bluesy rock singers, like, because I love Dio.
So anytime,
yes, those kind of guys had that whiskey kind of thing, voice that had that smoky kind of quality. So neither one of those bothered me. I loved Eat 'Em and Smile, but I will say this. In defense of 5150, I hear songs from that record today, and I go, yes, what great songs. I listen to Eat 'Em and Smile, and it sounds like music for teenagers. It seems like, in other words, it doesn't hold up. It does as a guitar record, the same way I can listen to Flexible and go, yes. But it's a guitar record. It was written for Russ and I.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
But I think, like you said, at the time, Roth came out of the gates like pretty freaking crazy. But everyone was talking about Van Halen 5150, and I was not one of them. Because when 1984 came out and I first heard Jump, I thought it was Pete Townsend. Because he was doing like Rough Boys, and like he had a little bit of a solo thing going on at the time. And for some reason, I just thought, oh, that sounds like Pete Townsend. Like, I didn't even, that's not Van Halen. Like, I couldn't believe it. But then, of course, it just becomes part of your vernacular, and then they followed up with Panem and Hot for Teacher. Then it was Van Halen.
How do you square away, though, Jump and I'll Wait being still in your mind Van Halen, and then saying, Why Can't This Be Love not?
Well, now, like Ralph said, I get it now. Right. 85 to 95, I wanted to have nothing to do with it. I didn't like 0812. I liked Pound Cake. I thought that was the first real Sammy Van Halen tune. And meanwhile, you go back and listen to 5150 and they're jam-packed full of them, but I didn't give it a shot. So I just was being very, right, you know, teenage.
You're a kid,
metal,
dude.
You
plus,
know?
You know, it was coming off that breakup and a lot of us were like, you know what I mean? That affected everybody. Like, what the
Right, right,
we felt
right, right.
betrayed that that could even happen.
Well, sure, and it's interesting, too.
That was a crack of the armor, heavy metal armor, that let babies start playing grunge music.
Mm.
You don't know that, but it starts very early on. Before you can see it coming, there's a break
don't
in the armor.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to play grunge music.
To wear flannels.
To be grungers.
It's the crack in the armor, man. And once that wall deteriorates, then you end up with Stone Temple Pilots.
God, that's so sad.
Stone Temple Sour? I will tell you this, too. I think you actually have a point there in your joke. There's a kernel of wisdom. Which is Steel Panther's entire raison d'être. I looked that one up since we're in Luxembourg.
On Wikipedia.
We're in Luxembourg, by the way.
Beautiful,
here.
Beautiful
I was just telling Russ, I use this as an example of like a really like Timbuktu or Luxembourg or Poughkeepsie, New York.
Or Tilburg.
Tilburg, that's another one.
But, or Encino.
Encino, man.
Yeah.
But I was, if Van Halen had continued on as being Van Halen, like the Van Halen that we know and love, partying, having a great time, maybe grunge never would have happened. But when they went down... That's when everyone was so depressed that Van Halen actually broke up. That's
well, like I said, it's a chip in the armor.
Yeah,
I don't know. Then you have Motley getting in a fight.
I don't know.
And they break up.
Right.
And then you get Guns N' Roses coming out, Metallica.
Yep.
You know what? What would have happened if they didn't invent the internal combustion engine, guys? Would we still be riding horses? Who knows? Somebody would have invented it at some point. So at some point, the heavy metal was going to end up with. You know, heavy metal ballads taking over the radio.
With all of you guys,
yeah, and it just, dude, everybody was, it was just bound to go there, and then everybody said, this.
You guys were like, on the strip just showing up 89, 90, and then suddenly you're all out of a gig.
Dude, think about it. Grunge music is really just metal with no hairspray.
That's what Billy Corgan...
It's metal with no hairspray.
Well, and that's what Corgan said, because we never saw it as grunge. We just saw it as Black Sabbath ripoff.
Yeah, it's Sabbath. Soundgarden is Sabbath. It's just...
So let's get into the songs on 1984 and 5150. But before the battle begins, I just want everyone to know that both Rich Ward and I are ready for this classic album clash. We did our DDP yoga today. That's why Rich does it every day, usually outside in the sun next to the bus. We both have the DDP Yoga Now app on our phones, which makes it super easy to do DDPY on the road. And it can be that easy for all you sexy bees, Talk Is Jericho listeners as well. Just download the DDP Yoga Now app. You can get it for both Android and iOS and get started. And if you do it today, you can take advantage of the 7-day free trial that DDP has given all Talk Is Jericho listeners. That's how sure Dallas is that you're going to love his program. He's giving you 7 days to try everything for free. So you get to do the workouts, and there's over 100 of those. You can even do a live workout with an instructor from the DDP Yoga Performance Center in Smyrna, Georgia. You can check out all the recipes and nutrition tips that Dallas has on the app to help you eat healthier. You can hook up your Bluetooth heart rate monitor to track the calories you burn and your overall progress. And you can even get a little personal motivation help from Dallas himself on days when you need that extra push. Dallas is going to pop up on your app and tell you, get going, bro. He's really going to do that. I've experienced it myself. You can also check out Dallas's brand new real life reality series, We Can Rebuild You. You got to check this out. The series shows the work that Dallas has been doing with disabled vet Jerry Cameron. He wants to be able to walk again without using his walker. And I can tell you he's nearly there because Dallas already has Jerry doing the DDP workouts without the walker. It's amazing. And DDP Yoga is not just helping me, Rich, and Jerry Cameron. Look what it did for Mick Foley. He's lost over 100 pounds on DDPY. He's feeling great. DDPY has also helped AJ Styles go Goldust, Jake the Snake, Edge, Goldust, Kane, Scott Hall, Corey Taylor from Slipknot, so many more. I know you've heard me say it over and over again, but DDP Yoga, it's a kick-ass cardio program that's going to improve your flexibility and strengthen your core. I mean, look what I'm doing every night on stage with Fozzy. What I'm still doing in the ring for New Japan Pro Wrestling, it's all because of DDP Yoga. You start your free 7-day trial now at ddpyoga.com/Jericho. You got nothing to lose and everything to gain. And once you're hooked on DDP Yoga, then take advantage of this special deal on an annual membership. Dallas is giving you 20% off. You get 7 days for free and then 20% off an annual membership by going to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. And if you want to meet Dallas in person, tell him how much you love the workouts, how much you love hearing these ads on Talk is Jericho, his ads, and maybe even do a live workout with him, then you got to come on Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager, the Jericho Cruise, later this month. There are less than 25 cabins left. Go to chrisjerichocruise.com, or you can also meet up with Dallas at the Rhode Island Comic Con November 2nd through the 4th. Get on board the DDP Yoga program. Start your free 7-day trial at ddpyoga.com/Jericho and get in the best mental and physical shape of your life. This really works. I stand behind it 100%. Go check it out. ddpyoga.com/Jericho.
He was going to do it his way.
The history of rock and roll is littered with suspicious deaths and the unexplainable.
If he wasn't going to get off the grog, which he wasn't, it was probably going to kill him.
Lennon, Hendrix, Presley, Jim Morrison, the truth told by the experts and the people there. Revelations that will blow your mind. The Rock and Roll Twilight Zone with Richard Serrett. Listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the Westwood One Podcast app.
Let's go into the albums here. We got some good points to start off. 1984 came out on January 9th. Guess what year?
1985.
No, it's 1984. It's right? Not just 84? A catchy album title.
You know, they premiered the video on MTV on New Year's Eve.
I remember that.
I watched that.
You watched Jump.
Yeah.
So what did you think?
MTV?
The video is a great video, by the way.
It's a great video.
It's super cheap.
Oh, and if you want to go online and check out some outtakes of Dave trying to perfect his backward jump, they're on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Check them out, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Because they actually show it in reverse, too, don't they?
He's jumping backwards.
And Eddie can't stop smiling. I think Eddie's pretty loaded.
He's high as
fuck. Yeah, he's totally high as
fuck. Awesome.
What'd you think of that video, Rich, when Jump came out? You already checked out.
You didn't like it.
Well, I didn't.
You didn't like it.
Like I said, I mean, I'm a big fan of my favorite Van Halen record is still... You know.
Wait, let me guess. Women and Children First.
Fair Warning.
Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah.
Which, as we learned in the Noel Monk book, was tanking when it first came out, and they had to stay as a gold level band. So Van Halen management bought 200,000 copies of that record.
God, I wish we could do that.
I wonder where
I bought 200,000 copies of your record.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, I loved it that much.
The money for
it
me.
Only registered as two, though. That's
So wait, their management bought all those records with what money?
I guess with Van Halen money.
Oh,
to
wow.
To keep them at gold
Us Festival
level.
Money. Yeah. $1 million.
Every song's $100,000.
But that kept them at that level so that promoters would see they're still gold and keep them at the arena level. I guess at that time, if you stopped being a gold level band, it would hurt your
draw. Perception.
Your perception, exactly. And as we know, you guys know perception is reality.
That's why we buy hookers for every show.
Wow, I know.
How crazy is that as teenagers that we put up like walls of what we were willing to accept as music, right?
Oh, totally.
Like you were saying, it's like at some point you would accept Duran Duran because look at all the girls. It's like there were rules for acceptance for certain things.
Yeah.
Right. And I still would have gone to a Van Halen show because it was Eddie and Dave. It was the guys and there were going to be girls at the shows. But for me, I was starting to transition, if you know what I'm saying. Which is
popular
nowadays.
Like you're transitioning like our bass player, Lexi
no,
Fox?
No, like full bullets.
When Bon Jovi came out, I was like, what the f***?
Yeah, I was out. Like I said, I was full screaming for vengeance, defenders of the faith.
When I saw the Scorpions, it was one of my first gigs, Love at First Sting tour. The opening band, I hated the name of the band, and the singer had all these scarves on the microphone, and I thought it was terrible. I thought it was rotten. Never wanted to see that band again. You know what they're called? Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
They were terrible. But,
really?
Well, maybe they were great, but I just didn't want to see it.
Right.
You know, I didn't care.
What's the scarf limit?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. 5150, March 24th, 1986. And
how many years? 1 year?
That's 1 year and 3 months later.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's pretty crazy. Actually, 1 year and 2.5 months later. When you think of all the stuff that happened from January of 1984, this came out in March of 85. That's crazy.
How the f*** did they do that?
They do a whole tour.
No, it's 2 years. Not 1 year, 2 years.
No, it's not, dude.
What is it?
January 4th, 1984. To March 24th. Oh, sorry.
And it's just simple addition.
1986.
Right?
Simple addition.
How did they do it in 2 years? That's crazy.
Hold on, let me get my calculator. Wait, it is 2 years.
Fix it in post.
It's only three weeks, guys. It's amazing what they did in 3 weeks.
In 2.5 days, they got a new singer, did a whole tour. But that one went to number one. That was their first album to go to number one, and Van 1984 went to number two. So,
well, you know, the reason that 5150 went number one is because Van Halen 1984 went number two.
So that was the natural
progression. Like, yeah.
But there was a lot of steam, though. You thought Sammy Hagar was a nerdy guy. A lot of people were excited.
Dude, he had
about
short
Sammy
hair,
Hagar
man.
When he joined,
he wore a suit coat and hopped around and jumped like he was his first time in a rock band.
You don't have to tell me.
He used to wear a yellow banana jumpsuit and talk about driving fast.
Oh, I like that.
Well,
one,
I'll tell you one other thing, though.
Did you watch that video, though? It's a great video.
Oh my god.
And also Van Halen.
It's actually a funny video,
but it ain't no Panama.
But Eddie Van Halen was never a great stage wear guy. Van Halen stage wear.
You know who dressed him?
Never good.
Dave dressed everybody.
Really?
Yes.
So he dressed everyone and looked not cool? So he looked cooler?
Dude, he looked at all their outfits during the time from 82 to about 1984, maybe 81.
Because Michael Anthony was wearing a jumpsuit actually all the
time.
Yeah,
man.
He
got them dressed up, man. They had no like cool I do the same factor thing for Satchel. I'm like, dude, you can't wear that.
Thank you.
And he tells me you can't sing out of key. You know that kind of thing.
You guys both disagree. We agree that you can sing out of key and make millions of dollars.
You're right. I mean, that's been proven over and over again.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even
your tracks are out of key.
You know what? We make them.
It would sound weird if they were the only things in key.
God, dude.
Yeah. Thinking about detuning my guitars a little bit too.
Yeah, if you could just slightly be flat in all your tuning, that'd be killer. And I'll be sharp.
We'll
be flarp.
Same lineup of both, other than of course, the lead singer equation, Eddie, Alex, and Michael Anthony, and Dave, of course, on 1984, and Sammy Hagar on 5150. So. For the battle, this is it, the track-by-track battle.
We're going track head-to-head.
And usually we don't include instrumentals, but we have to have 9 versus 9. So it starts off with 1984, right, the instrumental, versus Good Enough.
Oh, my God, there's no...
No comparison. You can't even say
it. Good Enough's a killer riff.
That is a great Van Halen song.
And the solo is so out of this world.
Great, like, Hello Baby, like, that's a cool Roth-esque thing.
It's cool. It's like, to me, that song was the new Van Halen.
Yes, and that was also a nice foot in the old Van Halen, where you could hear Roth singing that song. And it could be one of the only ones, maybe Best of Both Worlds, and maybe Summer Nights, that I could hear Roth singing either one. But that's about it.
Well, let's not jump ahead of ourselves with the tracks, okay?
No, but I'm just saying, Good Enough, like I could hear David Lee Roth.
Totally,
And I could hear him say, hello, baby.
Yeah.
What are some...
Was that something that they probably had, like on, they just didn't use?
Well, that's from Big Bopper. Right? That's an old Big Bopper, one of the guys that died in the Buddy Holly plane crash. He had a song called Chantilly Lace. It goes, hello, baby.
Yeah, but I mean, like that whole track was...
Oh, okay, sorry. I thought you meant the Hello Baby.
No, the Hello Baby thing.
Yeah, that's standard. Okay. Professor Ward.
Well, I thought it was interesting that they opened the album with Sammy's voice.
You know what
I mean? It was like the new dude in town kind of deal.
Yes.
And
suck our dicks, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, it was basically that. And then, of course, Eddie's horsey guitar lick. And then I thought it was interesting that the bridge breakdown was very reminiscent of the Dave kind of breakdown where you're talking a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Good call.
Formula.
A rack of what?
Yeah, so Formula, maybe they were thinking when they're looking back at all the tracks for the record, what's the lead-off track that feels like Van Halen? So that, because we know we've got Why Can't This Be Love, we know we've got some of these other jams, let's make sure we open the album with something that feels familiar, and
so they won't throw the record away after.
Correct.
It's the Paul McCartney theory of, if you're gonna play a new song, always give people a spoonful of sugar after and then play a classic. So they're giving you the spoonful of sugar right off the bat. Listen, we know you might have loved David Lee Roth, we do too, but here's our offering of the transition song.
Yeah, right.
That was pretty smart.
It's pretty smart.
And Sammy has this crazy Roger Daltrey scream at the very end, which is just to try to... I think there was there were some boxes that needed to be ticked. It was smart, right?
Yeah, agreed.
And also something that we discussed last night, album produced by Mick Jones.
Ooh, yeah, good call. Foreigner.
So
that's another good point to point out.
Yes.
The last one was 84 was Ted Templeman. And then they moved on to Mick Jones.
Yes, and some things that I noticed.
It's a bold move.
Very bold.
And I can't believe Mick Jones let those drums go by.
Well, and that was the one thing. There was two things I noticed production-wise that were pretty blaring, and that was the guitar tone was way darker, more saturated. The old
5150?
Yeah. Yes, the old turn the plexi up to 10 was now modified. It sounded like either something was in front of the
totally.
Amp.
Yeah, the chorus.
There was definitely some more... There's more gain in saturation. And then, of course, the Simmons drums, you know, do-do-do-do-do. And then, of course, we still had the snare drum that sounded like Alex. Yeah, we still had the classic snare, but everything else, the drums had really changed.
Yep.
Isn't it amazing how Alex Van Halen's one of the few drummers that when you hear his drumming, you know it's him? He's got that sound.
Yeah, that snare drum. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, too. The drums, it did change a lot, but it's still, like, the songs are really good, so it doesn't seem to matter. It's like
I agree.
They sound like Van Halen. It's weird how their sound would change from album to album and still
be Van Halen.
Still unique in them.
That's interesting. We always talk about like David Bowie or you know ZZ Top or Rush changing their sound, but Van Halen did that on a album by album basis, right?
I know.
Quickly too, I just want to say 1984. I thought it's interesting that they opened the album with that, because conversely, if you're a huge Van Halen fan at that time frame, you'd be like, what the hell is this? It's an instrumental, but on keyboards, to show that, listen, we're going in a little bit of a different direction. Yeah. Thought it was an interesting way to kick off the record. And obviously, it doesn't stand up to good enough, but still a very cool idea in concept. Now, did you hate that, Ralph, when you first heard it?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of...
You didn't like that at all.
It just was something that I couldn't, like, pass.
Yeah, you wanted Van Halen.
I just wanted to be able to click forward and just get into, was it Jump? Or,
Jump, yeah. Well, let's go into that.
Yeah, it was like the intro to Mob Rules, ironically called 5150.
No, nice.
Yes, which was great, but it wasn't the first song in the album.
Right.
You know, you could have one of those kind of moments, but it seemed odd to put the keyboard like intro up front. It's something you say for the live show.
You know, Dave did not want keyboards in the band at all.
Is that true?
Yeah, well, from what I've read, I don't know.
Computer Dave then, huh?
I think so. I think Eddie, like normal guitar players do to singers, was just really trying to, you know, go, look, dude, this is the way it's going
now. My band.
Well, my band. I write the songs that make the whole world sing. You're singing them.
You know what else happened, though, was that Eddie was not happy with Diver Down with all the covers on it.
And who did that?
Roth.
And that was their best record. So anyways, keep going.
Roth.
Pretty woman walking down the street. Pretty woman.
What was the album before that? Is Fair Warning?
Fair Warning, yeah.
It did not have hits.
That's right.
So Ross said, so what did Dave do? He said,
let's do another King song.
Yeah.
Because it was my idea to do the King song on the first record. Hey. Look what happened. Yeah. You know, it's just, you know, when you stop collaborating with your partner, that's when shit goes south.
Hold on a second. Anyway, let's go on back to the...
that's what I'm talking about, man. You can't even build off what I'm saying. So collaboration is the key to songwriting.
Well, that's
always the key. I disagree entirely. Anyway.
And agreeing with each other is totally the way... Would you, boss, quit moving? Where are we going?
Where are we going?
We're just driving back and forth.
Oh, that's so much fun.
Yeah. He's taking his test.
He knows we're doing some audio up here, so he's trying to screw with it as much as possible.
That's cool. So you have Jump Against...
Jump Against Why Can't This Be Love.
Oh, God.
Two hits.
Yeah. Oh my God!
Why can't this be? I would say that Van Halen Jump for me wins this battle, only because it's Van Halen with Dave Lee Roth, and it's their first time doing a keyboard song that is clearly a keyboard song. Cradle Will Rock, and the Cradle Will Rock was keyboards. It was through a Leslie distorted.
Dude, that's a bitchin' song.
That's a bitchin' song.
Let's bring that into it, because
my point by bringing that up is that it was synthesizer straight out in front of your face. And Van Halen had never done something like that, unless I'm missing something. But and it was a killer video. Their promotional rollout for that song was killer. It got me right away.
I'd have to go with Jump on this one too. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you know, it was pretty bold move, man. I mean, it's a great song, and it's a hook, a keyboard.
Oh, dude! Well,
I remember I used to be able to play it on my Touchtone phone. Do, 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 do. It's like 591.
Hearing you do it like that,
the lady was like, "Stop calling me!"
Hey, do you know you got the same phone number as Jump? Also about Jump,
but the solo,
Close Encounters of the Third Kind,
the guitar solo in Jump
is
the keyboard solo into the guitar solo.
It's awesome, dude.
Is such a great, like, once again. Here's the spoonful of sugar. Yeah, thanks for listening to my keyboard song. Now here's a ripping four-bar solo or two-bar solo.
Yeah, it was
the guitar solo first into the keyboard.
Oh, that's right.
But it's pretty bitchin'.
It's a great solo. But it's also... Cool.
And then one thing about Why Can't This Be Love, that synchronized track thing that's going after a while it's like it just starts, I can't stop hearing that.
In a good way or a bad way?
No, in a bad way.
Okay.
But I think Sammy Sings a Killer is a great melody.
That's got a great solo on it too. Yeah.
It's a hooky song. It's a little happy.
Yeah, it's still not that's one not of my favorite, Chris.
Oh yeah, that whole part.
A 5-year-old kid can play that.
But that's a good thing, though.
Is it?
I think so.
I kind of disagree that a 5-year-old kid can play that. I bet it's way harder than you think. Russ can't play it.
Yeah,
I can't play it.
I can play that in my sleep.
You play it in your sleep?
Yeah.
What do you have to brag, dude?
Because it's easy.
Nobody likes it when you're bad.
It's like playing smoking the water.
Playing it with your mouth. It's different.
You know, jump is like difficult, dude. I watched Satchel try and do the solo and jump when we play.
Fail miserably.
He misses it every time, but he gets so close. No, it's not an easy solo. It's jump. Yeah, it's well written. Every one of his solos, in my opinion.
In your opinion. Is the Eddie Van Halen,
he writes songs for his
solos. Solos are songs.
And that's, you know.
That's the secret of
that's the secret of reality.
Young way of looking at things.
Coffee spilled.
Party foul on your own bus, dude.
Rich, what do you think, Rich? Give us some insight here.
Okay.
Tell us the truth.
I love Jump. I just wish another band had written it.
Oh, interesting. Right.
You know, because it has kind of some new wave qualities to it, like of the time, which I really dig because I love the Cars. Like, I love Blondie. Love that era. I'm going to go with Jump over Why Can't This Be Love.
Of course you are.
Okay? Yeah. Just because I think it's probably one of the, I mean, you know, when the...
It might even be Van Halen's signature song.
Oh, dude, come on.
Well, at every sports arena, when they go to commercial break, I mean, it
was the theme of the Winnipeg Jets for 10 years.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah.
It is a part of our pop lexicon now. Mm-hmm. It is like
they don't play Why Can't
rock.
This Be Love at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But ironically, the chorus is, like, if you just compare the choruses, Why Can't This Be Love is a hookier chorus.
And I actually think if you're going to break it down as a song, Why Can't This Be Love, I mean, God, man, the verse melodies are amazing. And something we didn't mention. Is they gave freaking Hagar a freaking vocal solo after Eddie's.
Good point. Just kind of the scatting.
I mean,
I guarantee Sammy wrote that.
He's freaking scatting.
Again, a 5-year-old could sing that.
A 5-year-old could sing that.
You know some talented 5-year-olds, man. You should put them in the school of rock.
Jazz hands.
Have you watched America's Got Talent? It's amazing what these kids are doing now.
I love Ralph's just anger towards Sammy Van.
I love Sammy Hagar. He's a great guy. We hang out a lot, but I just, you know, I tell them straight up, dude, vocal solos are not cool.
We hang out a lot.
We do.
When I get back to LA, we're going out to dinner. It's really cool.
Well, he can't. His wife doesn't let me hang out with
you. You sent that message to one of his personal assistants, right? I wonder if it got through.
Probably not.
And I'll leave this, leave this for consideration. Your name of your band is Van Halen, and you were known for having the greatest living guitar player, and you basically wait until 2 minutes and 16 seconds into the song to even let him really play. And to me, like, I wonder how that decision was made.
Dude, it's his idea.
That's Eddie.
He wrote the song.
That's what I'm saying, but who allowed it? We always talk about bands who need a producer that just go, nah.
Yeah, to tell you no.
Because just let him go behind. Dun, 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 dun. Give me a little something. You know, like.
It's all keyboard.
Dude, it's self-deprecation, man, that makes him so likable. Think about it,
dude.
He's able to take a backseat to his own keyboard playing. How ironic is that?
Which is him. Probably a lot like Geddy Lee.
But I hear you, dude. I hear you. Usually it's something like Mean Streets, you know?
It's the same thing that Geddy Lee went through in the 80s with Rush, where he decided he wasn't going to play bass, just play keyboards. And he's probably like, what the f*** are you thinking? You're the best bass player ever. But he's probably thinking, I'm sick of bass. Let me try this keyboard stuff.
Right.
So what do? When you're a genius, you know, you guys know when you got one genius in the band, I'll let you guys decide who it is, Ralph. It's interesting
of course
to
it's
see.
Ralph. Ralph! Who's Ralph?
Okay, so we all say Jump, right?
Jump wins. Yeah. Clean sweep for Jump.
Okay.
Clean sweep for
84
earlier.
Yeah.
So song number three, Panama versus Get Up. So,
All right.
Let's move on to the next one.
That's
you know what?
Discussable.
Why are we even talking about this? Rich, you have any comments on Get Up?
I love Get Up. Is like, it could have been on Eat 'Em and Smile, right? I mean, it was that kind of.
It doesn't have a hook to it for me, though.
Right.
It just bam, 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 bam.
Well, hey, listen, as we'll discover, there's many songs on Van Halen 4 that don't have hooks either, but they're still great songs.
On 1984.
That's what I mean.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Hey, the solo in Get Up. is awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's pretty cool. It's classic.
Panama, right?
Panama.
It's a, one there of the greatest other rock songs song. Ever written.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect written rock song, I think.
The guitar tone on Panama is light years better than Get Up.
Light years?
Yeah. Light years.
Light years?
Yeah. He is so oversaturated in that particular song, and it sounds like he's playing in the middle position of his pickups. You know,
you know a lot about guitar, Ralph.
Well, Satchel's taught me.
5-year-old set it up.
Yeah. 5-year-old can do it.
And it sounds like he's playing, he's tuned super low, which is very odd for Van Halen.
Oh, has down tuned a little bit that
Yeah, he's down tuned to like D, I think.
Hmm. Is that true? Is he down tuned?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't remember.
It's really low.
D?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Let me ask you this.
Hey, and also,
we know you
like
D, Russ.
Necklace guitar.
That's right.
Oh, you went for the Dick
Steinberger with the little pull.
Oh,
he didn't have
terrible.
A Floyd. He didn't
with
have a Floyd Rose. It was a what do you
Steinberger?
Like a whammy?
The whammy was
a tremolo.
Trans-trim. Yeah, the trans-trim.
I don't remember transgender.
What? Yeah, right. Trans-gender. It's all the rage these days. Back then, it was super cutting edge.
You
what's
about
the so there's Floyd Rose? What's Kramer or?
Trans-trim from Steinberger, yeah.
Okay, and what's the other one? There's
we're
another
three
one.
3 minutes behind
Kaler.
Us.
Kaler, the one you could bend all the way backwards. Yeah. Night
yeah.
Ranger one.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
already covered this about 5 minutes ago.
So right. Let me ask you guys a question. Is,
so
I would
what
assume
whammy
you...
bar is on like...
Floyd Rose. Anyway.
Yeah. That's real obscure stuff.
If you put a Floyd Rose on a Les Paul, does that make you a jerk?
I don't think if Les Paul should ever have a whammy bar on it. That's rule number one in rock and roll.
Right.
Neil Sean, if you're listening, disregard that, please.
Have you guys, it seems like Panama would be one of the songs you guys play or used to play quite a bit.
Yeah, Jumpin' Panama, we played a lot.
Do you
actually.
Ever have any guest vocals come up for those two songs that you can recall?
Dane Cook used to sing it a lot.
Oh, Dane Cook.
He
Dane
would try to sing it.
Dane Cook
he was
used to
amazing.
Do a lot of things.
He's,
with,
I mean, he's,
what happened to that guy?
Great singer. He's still trying to get him to sing for. He was doing movies and shit.
Oh,
dude, his house. I don't know how he afforded this shit. He must come from.
He was big for a while. He was doing arenas for a while.
Him? That's amazing.
Yeah, I've been to his house. His
him
house,
and Sammy go to Dane's house all the time.
Try to take advantage.
Not
of
anymore. They got in a fight.
Oh, okay.
So they don't really hang out. But I try and get them together to
you're
hang out.
You're in that weird position where you're like the lukewarm.
Yeah,
water.
I'm in between both of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Dane's house is killer, and he has the actual guitar that Eddie recorded Panama with.
No way.
Yep.
What is it with these guys that know Eddie Van Halen? I don't know Eddie Van Halen.
I know Eddie Van Halen.
I'm good friends with Eddie Van Halen.
I kind of disagree with both you guys on that. I kind of think both you guys are kind of making that up, to be honest.
I would say that Panama definitely wins.
Well,
over
I
Get
mean,
Up.
Once again, clean sweep, I would say. Rich, any comments about Panama?
I love it. Like, it's, I think it's, outside of Jump, it's the most recognizable, right? I mean, you listen to that opening riff, and it's, I actually prefer Panama over Jump just because it's, to me, it ticks
it's
all the
Van
Halen.
Halen
boxes, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All of the the great riff, great tone,
the breakdown,
great vocal performance, and it really pitches to Dave's strike zone, which is ultimate swagger, right? He has all of that stuff, but it's still kind of aggressive, too, because sometimes he can go, like, swagger, but it gets a little cutesy for, and it ignores kind of his, I could still punch you. You know what I mean? Like, he has that same
great
thing. Like, I'll take your girl, but I'll also fight you if it's what it takes. Right. I love that he lives in both worlds.
He's tough enough to do it. And it's got the great breakdown.
Yeah, the breakdown, man.
Another classic.
That's killer.
He's, like, and I wonder if that was just improv or... You guys know,
I think after Unchained, they decided not to do the improv anymore. Like, why don't you write something, and then we'll just go do it.
One sure break right. coming up. All right, so Panama gets the clean sweep, or the queen sweep, if you're talking about Russ. And let's go to...
Whoa! Who's Russ?
The other guy that I was talking about.
What are you talking about? Oh, you're talking about...
Your tech.
Ralph. Who's Ralph?
No, Ross.
Ross.
Rom?
Ross. Chandler.
Rom Emanuel.
Ross what? And Ralph. Rock Ron. And
roll. Whoa! Ronda.
Okay, Top Jimmy. Top Jimmy versus Dreams. Oh, I'm going to take this one. I love Top Jimmy. I think it's kind of a cool little Van Halen swagger, classic Roth lyrics that he probably saw some guy called Top Jimmy when he was a kid playing in a ballroom or something. But Dreams is a masterpiece song.
It is
a freaking masterpiece. Once again, combining a great keyboard riff with one of the best solos Van Halen's ever done and some of the best singing ever recorded in rock and roll for me. Please take over,
you are
Satchel.
So
what
wrong
do you think? Okay, well, okay,
no,
tell
kidding.
Me.
You're totally right.
Yeah,
I couldn't agree more. Dreams is one of the best Van Halen songs ever written. It's one of the most inspirational songs ever written. It's crazy.
Really?
Like,
yeah.
Don't you think?
Will you
like,
dry your
like,
eyes?
How many people like? There's not that many. There's not that many rock bands that can pull that off.
Yeah.
Like having it actually be a bitchin' song with an awesome hook that actually is uplifting. Like it's and
be,
being
amazing.
A rock band and
yeah.
pull that off.
And
most
and then like a video with planes.
We're not gonna take it. Did it by Twisted Sister, but this is even better.
Video with planes in it.
You know, it's crazy, dude. Really, it's like
that's
oh
the
my
best
God.
Video ever. Just planes.
I can do
stuff.
Anything in my life. Yes, just,
my dreams.
Oh wait, I gotta
true.
Go work and talk about.
I was actually working at Zellers, which is a Canadian Target, when that song came out. So I was living my dream of stacking sheep shit.
And look where you are now.
Right.
In the back of a tour bus with Satchel and some guy named Russ.
And I didn't even have to do anything to get
him. Right, Russ?
Yeah, Tim.
Sing it, Russ.
Okay, Michael Starr, what do you think? Give us your opinions.
Oh, man. Okay, so Dreams is a great song.
Yes.
Thank you. Rich, what do you think?
I think the bridge really for Dreams is the strongest point
for me. What's the bridge?
Na, 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 na.
Oh. Na, 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 na. Oh, no, that's the wrong song.
That's the wrong song. Dude.
I love that song. But the other one I was talking about was. Okay.
Oh, you know, I know what bridge you're talking about. Reach down between my
wouldn't
legs.
Wouldn't that be the pre-chorus?
Yeah.
Or the part where.
So baby, dry your eyes.
Ding, 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 ding. See, you can totally sing that.
Tears, you cry.
You got it. When they do Van Halen
really,
plus Michael Starr, you're doing that.
That's
song.
The bridge, right? You guys, Rich, that's
the
chorus.
The post-chorus.
The post-chorus. I got the two mixed up. I like them both. But I really think that comparing Dreams to Top Jimmy is an unfair battle.
Yeah.
Top Jimmy is a killer song, but it's a B-side.
It's
not a single.
It's an album track.
Right. And this is a you're
this
talking about
what
a single,
happens,
dude.
When you order your records this way and you do a battle. So
yeah, they never know what you're going to get. Battle versus know. Battle. Rich, what's your opinion?
Yeah, I'm going to jump on and just the
no jump
wagon. Yeah, and say that I think it's actually the best song Van Halen's ever written as far as just song.
As structure.
Yeah, you know just, and could be one of the best vocal performances in rock. I mean, at that point, I mean, he was full voice, crushing notes. And the thing about it is, it's one thing we can talk about guys who can sing high. I believed every word. Like, I mean, he was selling, you know, ABC, you know, always be selling.
You didn't think he was closing.
Always be closing.
You don't think he was a little sharp and so? Or
I mean, he may have been, but I was so, I had his balls right in my eye socket the whole time, blinded by that power.
No, that was Russ.
Yeah, there was.
It was.
Man, the other thing about it too is like, as you were saying, is like, oh baby, we belong in a world that must be strong. It was like the first time where Van Halen turned into Tony Robbins. Like, I was like, oh yes. Like they were always breaking us down and telling us to do naughty things. And now they're like, hey, it's time to get our shit together.
That's what dreams are made.
Yeah,
they sold it so well. David Lee Roth could, I mean, you know, as great as David Lee Roth was, he could never.
And that's
pull
and
that
that's
off,
another
that
thing about Sammy that I started to really appreciate as I started, you know, growing into a singer or being a singer, was that Roth, Sammy did the Roth songs, no problem. Roth could never do these songs. You know, they wrote them differently, and just they were just out of his.
Yeah,
right.
Couldn't,
and not even in his ballpark.
Which like, is what it, I mean. Sammy's a f-ing great singer.
He is, and that's you know great. Even to this day, Roth I think still
right,
holds some animosity to not want to have anything to do with Sammy because you know Sammy would kill him. Even though we don't care, we just want to see Roth be Roth and Sammy be Sammy. It's not a competition, but I think to Roth,
but it
still
is though.
It is a competition.
It is very parallel.
Exactly.
It's very parallel to the Ozzy Dio. Where Ozzy was all the character and he brought life into that band, and then Dio came in and just started singing the Phone Book, and everybody's like, oh, that guy, he looks amazing, but God, this dude's voice. And I think that's kind of, and it's good that way, right? It keeps us from having to compare two guys that were similar because Roth and, you know, Sammy are just completely different, that it just
singers,
becomes about opinions.
That's right.
Because it'd be unfair. It's like, hey, man, your Land Rover is not as cool as my Ferrari. They're just so different.
Well-oiled machines. Okay.
We suck both their dicks.
But
immediately.
Did I say that?
Here's the next round.
That's what I'm talking about.
Drop Dead Legs versus Summer Nights.
Oh, my God. It's ironic. Can I go here?
Please, go first.
I didn't make any notes, but I'd made some mental notes for this particular these two songs.
Okay. This is a good battle.
This is a great battle, and it's super hard for me to choose. I think, just overall overview of what I think of the two songs, I think the Summer Nights wins this battle, okay? Mm-hmm. However, there are so many similarities to the guitar soloing in Drop Dead Legs and with Summer Nights.
Oh,
it's just
in what way?
The way he's, the scales that he's using in this solo.
Which scales are they?
I don't know, dude. You know what I mean? I don't know what the scales are, but they're just, if you listen to the solos, there's a lot of similarities in them. Mm-hmm. It's like this out of the left field type thing. And I feel like, I was telling Satchel, 1984, Eddie Van Halen like took another, he went to a different place with his soloing. And I think that Summer Nights and Drop Dead Legs have that similarity to him.
Ah.
You know, it's where, you know, they do the front end of the song and then the rest is solo. And
the jam at the end. Yeah. It's very, they're both kind of loose type tunes.
Yep. But Summer Nights is definitely a super catchy, fun song that translates way better live. So okay. My pick would be Summer Nights.
All right.
And you know, I hate saying it.
It's a tough, that's a tough choice. That Drop Dead Legs is an amazing song. And it's got so much attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But Summer Nights is, dude, they captured the vibe of a summer night, dude. I mean, like, it's so cool.
Yeah.
And not to mention the fact that Eddie's guitar, the riff on that, like, he used that trans trem thing, like, he was innovating. Like, if you're not a guitar player, you're not noticing, but like, he was like, the key changes that he used in that and the flavor that he had on that song.
I think you just hit it on the head, Russ. He much like Hotel California, capturing the vibe of a dark desert highway.
Yeah.
Like, you can see that happening as you listen to the song. Summer Nights is the same thing. And both these songs for me were ones that I didn't jump into right away because they're both kind of lazy songs, mid-tempo. But once you, like, this is, both these songs were ones that came alive after 10 listens to where, like, oh, that band was great and Good Enough's great, but these two were like, they could be not the best two songs right, but they really grew on me. Dude, I don't know, man. I think I might have to go Summer Nights, although the jam at the end of Drop Dead Legs is amazing. Yeah. And it took me 10 years to figure out what Drop Dead Legs meant. I didn't know what that meant. Drop Dead Legs, it's like, I don't get it. She's got drop dead legs, Chris. Her legs are so great, you're gonna drop dead when you see them. Yeah. That's what happens when you're 13 years old. I didn't know anything about legs.
Yeah, right.
That's an old like 50s term.
And it's very cold. She got drop dead legs. They don't show their legs very much.
Yeah, go scram, kid. She's got drop dead legs.
Look at that dame over there's got drop dead legs. See?
She doesn't even need to shave them.
No contest for me.
Okay.
And I love drop dead legs. Okay, so we've already kind of the only note that I mean everybody's already covered all the stuff that I wrote except for I wrote this one line that I thought was interesting. I said Sammy is channeling the blues like Paul Rogers, but he's less polite and more fun to hang out with. You know what I mean? Like, because especially the swagger in that verse when he's done up and he's got, and Eddie's laying all that space for Sammy to freaking dance and swagger over. And he's laying on this really great bluesy kind of melodies that I was talking about. I'm really attracted to that kind of vocal style, except for he's doing it. Paul Rogers there's a politeness to Paul Rogers. Like, you know,
it's
like,
English, very English.
Yes. And it, even though like Paul's one of my favorite singers of all time, Sammy seems like he'd be more fun to hang out with in that kind of, so that was my funny quip. And then,
let me just make one quick point. Unsung hero of both these songs, Michael Anthony's background vocals.
Oh, yeah.
Both very prevalent in both of these tunes when you think about it.
Both albums, right?
Yeah, sure. But those songs, they both have great parts for him to sing.
I would say that Michael Anthony's voice is a great blend with Sammy's.
Yes.
Better than Dave's.
They're both singers.
I have to say that now. I mean, looking back, it was hard for me to have that transition. I was upset about it, but now that I'm an adult and I can look back.
Dave to Sammy getting rid of Michael Anthony because that was a bummer.
Well, that sucks too.
Okay, and that's why Sammy don't want to play without Michael because they blend so well together.
The Drop Dead Legs, no chorus, verse, pre-chorus, guitar lick, interlude, verse, pre-chorus,
solo out.
Right. Like, to me, like,
song.
It's the only song that I've ever heard that, because it is so amazing and there's so much attitude, that you just forget that there's no chorus and there's no like revisiting of any hook that happened. It's like solo out. So for me, like, there's another song in 84 that does the same thing, except for to me, it doesn't have the power.
House of Pain.
Yes. Like, that I say, I give it a pass for not, you know?
Yeah. I think Drop Dead Legs chorus is probably the, like, da-na-na-da-do, da-na-na-na-na-na-na. It's like a two-line harmony part, and that's
the chorus.
Yeah,
but nobody even knows what they're saying.
Well, I know. I don't even know.
But to me, it's like the setup. Da-da-da. Okay, well, I'm okay for Eddie being the hook. That's fine with me.
I'm sure he is too.
Yeah, damn right.
All right.
After that,
Dave's the bait.
Let's go to side two. And both of those sides had five songs on each, and both side twos have four. Wow. Hot for Teacher versus any other song in the world. Forget it, but it's best of both worlds. I'll take it. Hot for Teacher, the quintessential Van Halen song. Best video, best riff, best solo, best drum part, which if you're a drummer is very hard to play. Try and lay that down. Anybody that's a drummer, Frank maybe can do it. I'm sure Frank can do anything, but Styx can't do it. You know,
sure, Frank can do what Styx can.
There's not many drummers that can do it well.
I mean, and do it properly.
There's been drummers that have gotten up and played that song with us, and we've let them try.
It's been
just a train wreck.
Once again, like we talked about Metal Elite, you think you know it, you don't know it.
Dude, Alex can't even play anymore. That's how hard it is.
Right. Great bass. The Roth just scatting, making shit up.
Yeah.
When they do it live, he doesn't even do any of the words. He just goes, "Here we are in Luxembourg. Right across the street from a graveyard." Wow! I mean, but it works. It's like he can do whatever.
Are we really across from a graveyard?
From a park.
Oh, man, people are dying to get in there.
Hey. How are ya?
Try the veal.
Yeah, so Hot for Teacher. I'm going, obviously, Hot for Teacher for me. What do you think, guys?
Wow, you are so off today. No, I agree with you.
I mean, best of both worlds is a great tune.
Hot for Teacher, dude. I mean, like, dude, everything, the drums alone, it's insane. The guitar, the video,
yeah,
everything about it.
Well, let's talk about a little bit about the best chorus of both worlds. So, best of both worlds, good riff.
Bridge.
Yeah, it's great.
It's cool, but
you're comparing those two songs.
If it was up against
a Van Halen fan,
you'd have to
Hot for Teacher. But
what do you think, Rich?
Best of both worlds is a great song. You can't. Yeah. I mean, it's not.
It's a good battle, but Hot for Teacher wins for me. Yeah, what do you think?
Me too.
Is this the first time that we've heard Eddie use kind of an out-of-phase Strat sound as like the primary sound on a rhythm track? Like,
that little intro thing?
The clean part? The guitar part is very cool.
It's like bottoms up.
Yeah, it's a good call. Yeah. So we've heard it before.
The tone is different, though.
Yeah.
The bottoms up is clean, but it's not like... It's a humbucker.
Yeah.
I wrote down here when I was kind of listening, because I love doing this because I love listening to it with kind of fresh ears, then making notes. As I was listening through this album, it came kind of dawned on me. This was the point in the record that I realized that this album was just as much about Sammy, maybe even more than it was about Eddie, because his solos were a little shorter. Mm. Like, this was the time where I was like, oh, another really cool solo, but it's kind of short. It's a little understated. The guitars are kind of pulled back in the mix, and it's not an Eddie. It doesn't feel like an Eddie Van Halen record. Like, 1984 feels like an Eddie Van Halen record, even though Dave, you know, is his wingman. I'm listening, and it's like, wow, this is kind of a radio mix. Like, the guitars are a little back there at times, and Sammy's got the best. Like, I love it, but Hot for Teacher, head-to-head, is no way. I mean, there's no song, really, that could touch that. But I thought it was interesting that I started to recognize that Van Halen was entering this new realm of, wow, I can't believe there's, like, four or five songs in a row that are all singles with these massive choruses and these great hooky verses. Like, every part's a hook, right? Every single section. And that could have been the Mick Jones influence of just saying, we're not throwing the bridge away. We're going to write something super hooky. We'll give Eddie 8 bars, but after that, we need to have something kind of hooky. This is not your old dad's Van Halen.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does sound like, you know, somewhere along the line, there is some influence. Could be Sammy, could be Dave, you know, could be
Eddie. The evolution of Eddie, or whatever. That's another reason why Roth and him got into it for that change.
But you're hearing that, right? I mean,
what do you think, Mike?
I was thinking about all you're saying, and I think that Eddie Van Halen, from what I've read, and, you know, what you read is not necessarily always true. But, you know, Dave just
really
did not want piano or keyboards.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that he was adamant about and didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that once they split up and Sammy came in, Eddie could do whatever the fuck he wanted to do.
Good call.
And so he did. And he was able to, like, explore this other world for himself. But it sounds to me like Best of Both Worlds was written a lot by Sammy.
Mm.
I could be wrong. But
I think you're right.
It sounds like a Sammy Hagar song.
It does sound like a Sammy Hagar song.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's a great song, but I listened to it last night, and the guitar tone on it just bum me out so much.
It bums me out a bit too.
So muddy and so round and.
Isn't it funny too, though, that when the Roth band jumped the shark for me was when they released Stand Back as the single.
Stand Up, sorry.
Which is all this weird. Bom, 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 bom. I don't even know what it is. It's a keyboard, but I don't even know.
It's a keyboard. Dave went where he said he would never go.
That was the end of that band.
He was working for Van Halen.
Yeah, right. That was the cool factor for me.
what would Eddie do here? Yeah. Oh, keyboard.
Yeah, that to me was. It's ironic that you say that. But yeah.
But I would go for Hoffa Teacher. Best of Both Worlds. It's a killer song live.
Yes.
It translates so good live.
Because they're doing the walk.
Yeah, the walk.
I mean, it was a fun concert.
Yeah.
I went to it, and it was killer.
50 you went?
Yes.
Even though you weren't?
Yes.
You still wanted to be a
Hell yeah, I got free tickets.
From your brother after you started cocaine off the album.
No, I really did go.
Hey, how come you didn't tell me about that?
Oh, here's something interesting.
You said you were going to call me if you got free tickets.
I did call you and you didn't pick up. And I paged you.
Yeah,
like three times.
Yeah, that's and he called your giant car
phone. Like, asking you about that, and you didn't go.
Okay, let's go to the next one. I'll Wait versus Sorry. Love Walks In.
Jerk.
That's a good battle.
I'll Wait. Love.
I'll Wait. I don't know if you know this. Written by Van Halen, Anthony Roth, and Michael McDonald.
What?
Wow. That's what it says here. That's insane.
Is that Wikipedia?
You think that's real?
Is that Wikipedia?
Yeah.
Well, everything you read on Wikipedia is totally
the same Michael McDonald that we know.
From
the guy
that
different works, Michael McDonald.
He's from Pittsburgh, right?
The guy that works down the street at the Starbucks, I think.
Oh, wait! It sounds like he,
I don't know.
We could look this up.
He's from the Steelers, right?
From the Steelers, yeah.
What's his name? Steely Dan.
Steely Dan from the Steelers?
Is that who Mark McDonald is?
Mark the mascot.
Mark McDonald was in Animal House. He's the teacher that yells at Dee Snider in the I Want to Rock video.
He didn't write
that. He helped write this. That's what it says.
That's somebody.
You're thinking of Ronald McDonald.
Okay. Man, I'll tell you what. That's all David Lee Roth. He wrote that shit.
Okay, so, Rich, why don't you start this? It's I'll Wait versus Love Walks In.
So I was a little shocked when I listened back to Love Walks In because I've heard it a bunch of times, heard it on the radio. This was not an 5150 was an album that like I played as an album a bunch. Like I knew the songs, I heard the stuff on the radio. Of course I listened to the whole album before, but this is the first time I like really listened to it critically, not just as a
fan.
So this song is not played well, and there are some really. Some rhythmic issues going on in this album that really bother me. And I think my guess was one of two things. One is that they tracked the keyboards and the vocals in a writing way, and they really liked what they had. And then they had Alex come back and track drums on top of it. Because the drums are not, there's so many pushed keyboard hits and pushed snare beat and weird tom rolls out of time. Like the first pre-chorus fumbles into it. Like something I think, why wasn't that retracked? What happened? And so one of the things that I thought also could have been that we were kind of talking about it. It was there a possibility also that Alex Van Halen was struggling with how rigid the Simmons toms and the reaction with it? Because there were some moments that in a faster song with a lot of guitars and stuff, maybe we didn't notice as much. But man, the drumming seemed really bad coming from the greatest rock drummer on the planet.
Yeah.
So it was one of two things. It was either, to me, because you know, we've all recorded before and said
it was the first Simmons thing he had done, right?
Yes.
On that point.
And to me, like,
keep trying to get so, 60 of Simmons, and I don't know why.
So, yeah, I'm going to go, I'll Wait is the winner
across
the board. Like, but I did think, kind of going through this, I started to notice. And it, so one, I'm going to throw this out there just as like a sidebar discussion. Was it stylistically? Because I think if you would have brought Steve Smith from Journey into this, he would have crushed it. Because this is his wheelhouse. Was this song written by Sammy and Mick Jones and it worked on, and then this is just foreign territory for Alex Van Halen stylistically, who's not a power ballad guy that just was like weird? Or was it the Simmons drums distracting him, just the feel and the kind of how the rigidness, there's not the give of the toms? Or did they cut the drums after the keys and the vocals? Because it
I think you're getting high over there or something. What songs are we talking about? I'll wait.
Oh no, we're talking about Love Walks In.
Love Walks In.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Please try to pay attention.
I'm high right here.
Okay, here we go. Ted Templeman called me up. This is Michael McDonald. Said, hey, these guys have a track and they need some lyrics. So I mentioned you could do it because he had worked with him on the Doobie Brothers records. Michael McDonald, he said it wasn't exciting. I met David Lee Roth. He kind of liked what I had going on. We sat there in the office playing the lines and the melodies. And so Michael McDonald came up with those lyrics.
That's crazy.
You're talking about the lyrics. I've got such a long way to go to make it to the border of Mexico.
Yes, and then Roth changed it to I see your picture and the image sells. Look what you've done to me. So that's how he interpreted I've got such a long way to go to make it to the border of Mexico.
Amazing.
Yeah,
that's
I'll
really
wait
cool.
to ride like the wind is the original song they wrote, and they just split it into two and got two hits for
good.
The price
of two hits out of it.
So it's good. To me, I'll wait. I never liked Love Walks In. Listening to it again, When It's Love from OU812 is a killer song. It's one of the best songs. Love Walks
that's the
In.
The one that goes, when it's love anyway, right?
No.
It's
not that song.
Oh, yeah. No, that's another.
That's a different
that's
band.
That's another classic album.
That's the
album
best Van Halen song.
That's Doobie Brothers. Yeah, DeBarge, written. Classic album clash.
DeBarge.
DeBarge.
I never liked Love Walks In. I'll wait. I think it's got some great Dave swagger to it. Did not know that Michael McDonald wrote those lyrics. Don't care.
The
Dave
solo in I'll Wait's pretty cool.
Yes, yes, yes. I agree.
It's
a great
solo.
It's a great solo. And Alex Van Halen's drum beat.
Oh,
it's like bottom-esque.
It's a bottom. Bottom-esque. John Bottom. Great drummer.
Yeah,
John
the snare drum is the star,
that's where the term bottom is.
Yeah, the groove on that song.
And
is the great drummer.
His dad was a drummer, too. Harry
Bottom.
I got you.
It's terrible.
Did he use...
Amazing drummer.
Hey, you guys, did Alex Van Halen use Simmons on 1984, too, as well?
Sticks, what do you think? Guest performer or Sticks is here.
Hey, Sticks, what's up?
Hi, guys.
No, there were no Simmons on
there was
I think it was Rototoms, right?
It was straight Rototoms kid.
Okay. That was his, like, precursor to the Simmons, right?
That was the I'm going to twist the whole game.
You know, I heard that his audiologist for Alex Van Halen, that's when his hearing started going. He started losing all his high end, and that's when the Simmons started making its presence.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's why he went from...
What'd you say?
He was in pasties. I got to tell you, I'll Wait, great song. Dave sounds killer in it. But I would definitely disagree with you.
Okay. That's fine. You're
Love
to.
Walks In is a beautiful song.
Get the hell out of here.
The solo in that song is so melodically juicy, it makes vaginas wet.
Wow.
That's how killer it is.
You know what?
I'm serious.
Even with the timing issues, I would have to go with that song.
With Love Walks In?
And I'll Wait.
We agree on something.
Foss.
It's the first time ever.
Playing on I'll Wait is killer. The drum beat, the fills... I think the guitar solo is awesome, and I actually love that song. I think it's a great song.
Sticks, which one do you like better?
But I'm going to go with Love Walks In.
Okay.
I'm loving this, actually.
I'll Wait versus Love Walks In. Are you familiar with both?
For me, I'll Wait.
Yeah, you want to Wait Downstairs?
I'll Wait by Christopher Cross.
You
want
to go Wait Downstairs?
I'll Wait. I love him. Daddy Mac will make you jump.
Oh,
Christopher
that Chris Cross,
right?
Yes.
He's
was
amazing.
That what's in on that too?
Jeans backwards.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
With
the Doobie Brothers. Yeah.
Did you have any comments on the three sneakers and the dryer fills on Love Walks In?
Give me the fill. Let me hear it.
It is freaking rotten.
There are some pushed snare. I mean, Yeah.
Look, dude.
I have issues with this song.
Prove it.
It's the same story as Neil Young. You ever hear the Neil Young story?
Yeah, I don't like him either.
Well, a producer, I guess he goes in to sing a line. The producer's like, dude, I don't know. It's kind of out of key because he sings out of key. He's like, try it again. Neil Young does it same exact way. And the guy goes, can you do it? Almost. Really good. He goes, that's my style, bro. That's Alex Van Halen's style.
Is it? I think
the problem is that they didn't have all of the track highlighted when they hit the quantize button.
No, they missed a couple of them. There was a couple notes down low, and right. they just did a square.
Oops. Oops.
Next, Girl Gone Bad.
Hold on. I think you're getting high in your bunk, Rich. Yeah. That's... got a groove.
I may have touched myself inappropriately.
That groove, you can't. That snare sounds bitchin'.
Sounds so good on that iPhone speaker.
I must have been listening to DeBarge. That's what happens when you're like 3 a.m. Something really messed up about this song, man.
The busted a rock, maybe.
Sometimes when you listen with your in ears, everything sounds off. Yeah. Could just be the band you're playing with, or
is that why we don't sound good on stage?
Yeah, that's why I have the vocals out when we play.
Girls Gone Bad, sorry, Girl Gone Bad, not Girls Gone
Girls
Bad.
Gone Wild.
Girl Gone Bad versus 5150. Start off, Mike.
Girl
Star.
Gone Bad, all the way, dude.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
That's a cool album track for me.
Okay.
I love it. It's dirty. It's mean. It's dark. It could have been on Fair Warning, but it wasn't. It was on 1984, so. Which tripped me out a bit.
I think they had written it around that time. That was one.
Really?
I think it was.
It was. It's badass. It's killer. The solo's killer. And at the end, Roth actually does some Led Zeppelin shit. Some Robert Plant. Mm-hmm. Ooh, show. Fuck, it sounds killer, dude.
Oh, dude, one vote for Girl Gone Bad. What do you think, Sach?
I'm going to go with Girls Gone Wild. I love that movie.
That's good. Especially when they show their butts.
Fucking good. Especially when they're doing New Orleans. Have you seen that
one?
Oh,
it's a good one, man.
Oh, my God. Right after the hurricane, like, everybody's shirtless.
Your
even the people they didn't want to be. Yeah. What's that?
Sorry?
Sorry?
What you? Holy Nickelback. Sorry.
Sorry?
Literally?
Literally.
Can I pick both of the songs?
No, you must.
No, you
got to
pick
you
one.
I'm going to go with 5150 then.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Who are you?
Who are you?
Who are you?
Shut up.
Who are you?
And why are you taking 5150?
I don't know. Just because. Okay. I don't. There's neither one of those songs. 5150!
Okay.
So I'm just going to go with that because why not? Fuck it.
Now, 5150 means crazy.
Right. That's right. And I'm a little crazy.
So he is crazy.
For police numbers. And we got a 5150 here.
Yeah,
that's right.
What's your 5150?
You have a 5150 in Canada, too?
You know what code for homicide is?
It's 5149.
What's that?
You know what code for homicide is?
No.
What?
187.
187. Yo, 187, what's your 20? 5150-6941.
5150 is the section of the California Welfare Code which authorizes a qualified officer or clinician to involuntarily confine a person suspected to have mental disorder that makes them a danger to themselves. So you have to put them away.
Right.
I'm so going to 5150
on this. We have a 2112 out here in Ayn Rand's house up here in Canada.
I'm going 5150 for a couple reasons. I think riff.
Excuse me.
Dude, nice. Come on. I didn't burp during your discussion.
Yeah, that's really
sorry,
rude.
Dude. It's the pizza.
What's that? It's
like from two nights ago.
That's a 69.
I owe Joe money for that still. I'm going to buy the pizza.
You do. This whole thing with my credit card doesn't work in Europe is bullshit. Oh, my God, dude.
It up. It's like
I got it. I'm buying everyone. Oh, shit. My credit card doesn't work.
It's like having a $1 million check and nowhere to cash
that's
it.
That's right.
At Odin.
That's crazy.
5150 riff is amazing. I think it's a great riff. Sammy's scream at the end of that it sounds like he gets poked in the ass with a pitchfork right at the end of it.
That's right.
Very reminiscent of Roth.
It's a really sharp pitchfork. That's why you want sharpening.
It's the same one they poked Roth in the ass with during On Fire.
Oh,
he does this crazy scream. I just love this riff. And to me, it was kind of the hidden gem of the record. Until I got into it in 1995, I'd never heard the song. And when I heard it, I was like, this is a great riff. Crazy, shitty Simmons toms, electronic toms. But girls.
Those are coming back, though. They're making a comeback.
They're making a huge comeback. As a matter of fact, Styx is going to be playing them.
Next Fozzy record.
We may or may not use them on our next record.
Okay. Which is called My Sex is Amazing.
My Sex is Amazing.
My Sex is Amazing.
We also...
We've also, with the lead-off single, Pink Leather Lederhosen. We've discussed that earlier.
Oh, yeah. Lederhosen.
Pink Leather Lederhosen. Wow! Something like that.
And we might have Tigers on tour. On stage. So that'd be cool.
Okay, that'd be even better.
The cat-themed.
Rich, what do you think? Give us some analysis.
5150.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I just think it's a better chorus.
Yeah, great chorus.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, they're both great songs. For me, God, don't hit me. But I think it's Dave that, and the kind of the melodic approach that kind of bums out the Dave jam. To me, it's not
the chorus.
Strong. Yeah,
like the holding the note.
Yeah, well, I yeah, yeah, that's it. I think both are great songs, but they're both. As old Satchel said, I think we're starting to get into what else you got, you know, songs. I think both are great, but they're not. We've left the train station on the hit makers. Yeah.
Okay. Last song, which is to me not even close, House of Pain versus Inside. You want to start off with that one?
Well, the inside is a fun track. Mm-hmm. It's different. You don't see it coming, mm-hmm. you know? And the solo's killer in it. Mm-hmm. The tones, his guitar tone's nice. It's juicy. It's thick. It's got a nice click to it.
Juicy and thick.
You know I do. A couple times, yeah. Just like my dad used to serve it up.
Whoa!
Let's settle down here.
Michael.
Take a number. It's getting gross. I just think that House Pain, that riff is killer, and they're locked in together.
Yes.
And there's no like. You know, you were talking about the fills where they're like, oh, where's this going? Oh, and they just end up on one. It's like that, but it's cool. It's not like off.
Listen to the crazy tempo of this riff. What is that coming on?
13.
It doesn't stick. What do you think?
No, it sticks on almost every song.
Really? Out of whack, isn't it? That's something a lot of people don't remember about that song. It's really weird. That riff,
it's an old song.
It's an old song, and those two guys, you hear to this day that the Van Halens still rehearse every day. It's because they can do shit like that in their sleep. I bet you they just start playing and lock in completely. That's the perfect example.
Well, you know, the story in that song is Eddie started that, and Alex missed the beginning, and he just came in wherever he could.
Mm.
And that's how that ended up in that spot.
It's a happy accident.
Yep.
Right. So I'm going House of Pain. I think Inside is just, we need a ninth song for the record. Let's just jam for a bit and put a solo on, because it's like...
Same with 5150, though. I mean, that record.
Which one?
On the Inside. I feel
that's
like
what
that's
I just said.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about House of Pain.
No, House of Pain to me is a killer tune.
Killer tune, right?
I think Inside is just like, what do you got left? Here's your ninth song.
Right. Exactly.
Boom, 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 boom. Gonna do something on that. So I'm going House of Pain all the way. What do you think, Sash?
Yeah, I agree. I think House of Pain.
What did you think of that time signature?
I think it's fascinating.
Can you break it down?
Yeah, it's a 13.
I'm gonna guess here. After an hour and 15 minutes of an amazing conversation.
Eddie's playing in 4/4 and Alex is playing in 13. And if you, at the end of the song, they both end on one. I don't know if you guys realize that.
That's so amazing.
I'm going to say that you haven't listened to either record in about a year.
It's been a while. I actually listened to them both last night.
What is the timing
of
that?
I was on ecstasy.
They're in four. It's just that they're just flipping the beat.
Like kind of like
comes
what?
Literally with his, with
oh
his
sure, eye. Try to simplify it, Rich.
Like what Bobby Blotzer would do, right?
Yeah. I prefer to listen to everything.
I was thinking Fred Curry.
Alex was saying, "What would Bobby Blotz? What would the Blotz do?"
The Blotz.
See, it's.
It's on the E and of 4.
We'll discuss it afterwards.
Yeah, it's on 3, right?
The solo is great. The breakdown.
I saw at the US Festival. That was killer.
They played that live.
Yes, they did.
Wow. That reminds me of something they would do on the first record.
Hey, you know what? I want to retract that comment. It may be from when I saw them in 1984. I'm
one of the tours they played it.
But I just remember them seeing on the big... Yeah, it was the US Festival. They were together and they were singing, It was just... Oh,
God.
And it was before the song,
that
the record
out
came out. Yeah.
That's right.
It was just like in a jam part.
I'm going to go and look it up later. But I
promise you, man.
Okay, I believe it. Rich?
House of Pain for me. Although this is another one of those kind of weird songs that like, you know... verse, chorus, solo, and then let's just rock.
Yeah, there's no chorus,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, and I think for me, like, it's a great song. I love it. These kind of non-traditional arrangements work because it's Van Halen, and they're always kind of had their own thing. But if you had approached me and said, this is a song, I would say, hey, let's tell you what, after the solo, let's go back and hit the chorus, then let's riff out. So... it doesn't make it not a great song, because Inside, for me, is a terrible song. Like, when I heard it, I was like...
Don't sugarcoat it, Rich.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It was like... It's almost like a rap song, like, when all the, like, the posse guys are talking to each other in the background.
Yeah,
they're all, like, having conversations.
Can you shut up? We're trying to record a song here. Oh, dude,
yeah, this
is record
part of it. We're, like, adding ambiance. Like, he's talking to Michael, right? I mean, this is really cool. And then Sammy's, like, kind of scat rapping, like, the first verse.
That's when they, like... It sounded to me, at that point, they were trying to show everyone that they were really close.
Why do you think they
in that song? You know what I mean?
Why didn't just leave
we could put out
songs.
A shitty song and still
it
be
showed there's camaraderie.
Album
right.
Clash. they knew 30 years later we're gonna do this classic album clash, and they needed a ninth song.
They must have known that song.
So thanks.
But the thing is, people were making 8 song records. Well, I don't understand why.
Yeah.
You had to
do 9. Right.
Yeah.
How many songs did Deep Purple have on Machine Head?
7.
Was it really?
I think so.
He just yelled at you like he was mad.
Seven!
How do you know, bro?
How
many turn left, bro. Hey, by the way, all you guys go on Waze and download the Michael Starr direction.
Hey, there's only one way to download the Michael Starr Waze app voiceover, and that's by going on
your webpage
or somewhere online.
Somewhere online.
It's on Twitter. I put it on Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Here you go. Sticks, any comments about House of Pain versus Inside?
No.
No.
It was Dr. Tooth.
None. I just came up here looking for blow.
Hey, pussy or butthole?
Pussy or butthole.
Is the question what we talked about last night?
Is it? I don't know.
Desert Island, all you have left is a vagina or a butthole. You can only have one butthole. You have a lifetime supply of lube. Because if that's the deal... Wow. I don't know.
I guess if you're
tune in next week.
That's the next one. The classic Desert Island Clash. So, to wrap it up, one last thing
vagina.
We always like to discuss. I gotta go vagina. To just discuss one last thing, the covers. The classic Van Halen Strange album covers, which has the baby with the wings and the cigarettes, or is it Atlas holding up the world?
Yeah.
Holding up the Van Halen with the VH logo, right?
Lifting up the new world of Van Halen.
Ooh,
it's
well
very
done.
Symbolic.
That's very smart, Michael Starr. That's a good one. I think the Van Halen 1984 cover is iconic, though. I would wear that on a T-shirt.
The baby, I wear that shirt. It's called Van Halen, and it's got the grown-up baby as she's a girl.
Oh, nice!
And I like that shirt cover.
Oh,
I think it's cool.
Sure, because
smoking cigarettes.
In order to have babies, you have to have sex, guys.
And look, they're just
without
looking.
A condom. Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
That's the future of our careers, right there, babies.
Babies,
you know,
5-year olds that know how to play Van Halen. Songs.
That's right.
Do you know that Michael knows a lot of 5-year olds that are better than Eddie Van Halen?
Okay. You know what? Do not take portions of what I say and turn it against me like that.
That's the clickbait for Blabbermouth.
Oh, Kevin Spacey of heavy metal.
Michael Starr hates Sammy Hagar. So, oh, my God.
Overall, 1984, 51-50. Rich?
51-50.
Ooh.
The cover?
Well, I'm going with the cover, 84. Overall, if I have to make a choice and not parse it down to songs, I'm going 51-50.
Not album, you're talking about the album itself.
I'm going the album.
51-50.
I'm talking about, do I want to listen to it? Yes.
Okay,
if I say what album would I prefer to listen to, I'm going to say
51-50. Wow.
Star?
Well, I don't know if I could even sit in the same bus with you. I just out of sheer principle, man.
Sheer principle?
Sheer That's goddamn. You know what, dude? Let me tell you something about myself.
Okay.
When it comes to Van Halen, I'm a Van Halen fan. All the way to the core of my existence, man. David Lee Roth,
mm-hmm.
Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah. Oh, that was amazing.
Hey, if I was on a desert island and had to pick which record I would bring with me, it'd be 1984, dude. Okay, well, come on now.
All right.
And because, you know why? Because that's what I've always wanted. I always wanted to be in a band with a guy who can play that with that feel. And this guy sitting next to me, he's got that feel.
Isn't there yet?
That's a rare compliment.
I know. I'm serious, man.
That's a rare compliment, guys. That was a sweet moment.
That was very sweet.
You have no idea with all the tears I've cried.
Yeah.
That's what dreams are made of, and mine have come true.
I love you, Sammy. But you know what? If I had to choose between 51-50 and 1984,
you do.
There's more hit songs on 51.
You got to pick one, kid.
There's no doubt about it. In my mind. But if I had to pick a record on a desert island, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
I have copies of both under your chair.
There is electricity. Okay, I'm going to have to go with 1984 for me personally.
Atta boy.
That doesn't.
There's no but. It's either one or the other.
For me, 51-50, I understand why 51-50 did better. It's
I'm taking 1984 for one reason only. It's got Hoffer Teacher on it, which is one of the greatest top three songs of all time for me.
Yeah.
So I'm going 1984, but.
And you know what?
51-50 much better than I remembered, and probably if
here's,
broke
here's
it
what
down,
you're saying right now. You're saying from what I remember.
Yeah.
There's a reason why you're saying that, because 1984 is better, dude. That's why you remember that.
Okay,
shit.
So let me. So here's where, yeah. Okay, it's my favorite bands on the planet:
Steel Panther,
Journey, Boston, Foreigner, Kansas Sticks. I love that era of 70s super rock. For me, 51-50 is more of that kind of record, more
big hook choruses, really hooky verses, well produced, not a lot of like throwaway bits and pieces for the musicians chumming the water. So for me, it pitches to my strike zone. I'm not saying what's a better record. I'm just saying, if you're saying for me to listen to what I like, my favorite record of all time is the first Boston album. To me,
it's a great record.
The 5150 has more in common with the types of albums that I listen to when I'm going to like, when I'm listening to jams.
It's apples to oranges. I hear you, man. But like, but there's certain things about 5150. Like Sammy is a great, he's a better singer.
And he's a beast on this record.
He's insanely great.
It's like hearing Bruce Dickinson on Number of the Beast coming out of the gate.
But at the same time, though, then there's more, for me, there's more attitude on 1984.
Because Roth's in the band. It's got the swagger.
More attitude.
Sammy's not dangerous. Roth is dangerous. Yeah. You know, even to this day with all his
tattoos.
And
you're a dangerous guy, Chris.
You know, I'm not dangerous. I'm nice.
Chris Danger Jericho.
Chris, they call me Danger Jericho. Sticks, do I even have to ask you 5150 or 1984?
No.
Sticks' shoes are blind.
Okay, I won't ask you.
I won't have to ask because 1984 is it for me.
And Joe, bass player for Atomic Punks.
Yeah, Joe Lester's here.
Joe's been sitting the whole time.
Yep. Joe's been like shaking his head.
1984 for sure. Okay, good.
By the way, Joe's like the debate prep guy because he had like a lot of answers off. Like he's like, yeah, it's called the Trem.
Joe knows
like,
how to play every one of these songs. And he's
like, he was over here with like little cue cards.
He
was
feed like, me info, dude.
Yeah.
Now, one last thing. If David Lee Roth was here right now, Michael Starr, what would he say?
He say, you guys, Steel Panther, you guys are doing a great job. Just keep on doing what you're doing. You're going to keep on getting what you get, my friend. And look, all my fellas here on the bus, they know what's rock and roll, and you do too, my friend. I can see it in your eyes, and you know with my good eye, I'm looking you down and bringing the heavy metal back all over the world with Steel Panther and Fozzy on tour right now.
Yeah, boy!
That's what he would say.
Yeah, boy!
All right, dude! You left off, and that guitar player for Fozzy could suck my dick.
Thanks again to Michael Starr and Sasha from Steel Panther and Rich Ward from Fozzy for taking part in the latest edition of the Classic Album Clash Van Halen. Which one do you prefer? Go to Talk Is Jericho. Let me know, is it 5150 or is it 1984? What are your favorite songs from each? I'll read some of them on the air next week, all right? Steel Panther on the road right now. They're doing the Force Fest 2018 festival in Mexico on Sunday, October 7th. Then they're headed to Canada for a couple shows before coming back to the States for a swing through the East Coast and Midwest. Steel Panther. They're always on the road. It's a great show, as you know, if you've seen them before. Get tickets to the show at steelpantherrocks.com and book your cabin for Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rangers at Sea at chrisjerichocruise.com. Less than 25 cabins left, and the cruise is less than a month away. And remember, when you book your cabin, everything is all inclusive. Everything's included. All the activities on the ship, all the live podcasts, concerts, comedy shows, meet and greets, autograph signings, wrestling matches, everything in between. All you got to pay for is alcohol and gambling, and I want you to do a lot of both. Okay, we got almost 2,000 people aboard this ship. It's going to be a huge rock and roll party. So grab one of the last remaining cabins. You still have time. I don't want you to miss all this fun. Listen, the big main event, Alpha Club versus the Bullet Club, the Bucks of Jericho, or is it Y2 Jackson versus the Bullet Club of Kenny Omega, Cody Rhodes, and Marty Scurll? Don't forget about Impact versus Ring of Honor for the first time ever, kicking it off with Marty Scurll versus Sammy Callahan in the No Rules Deck Fight. Like a street fight, get it? Slaughter on the Water, they're calling it. A four-corner survival match, Kenny King versus Frankie Kazarian versus Dalton Castle versus Jay Lethal. That's a Ring of Honor match, of course. Cody versus Delirious, a match chosen by the NWA champion and the IWGP US champion himself. More Ring of Honor versus Impact, LAX versus the Young Bucks, and John Morrison's team, Johnny Impact, Brian Cage, LAX, and Sammy Callahan versus the Bullet Club of the Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes, Marty Scurll, and Adam Page. 10-man elimination tag team war. You are not going to want to miss this. Live Talk Is Jericho, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Live Talk Is Jericho, remembering Eddie Guerrero. Live Talk Is Jericho with the entire aforementioned Bullet Club. Live Talk Is Jericho with Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler. Mick Foley doing his 20 Years of Hell stand-up show, which is great. Keeping it 100 versus Killing the Town. Don Callis and Paul Lazenby, of course. Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler doing a live with JR and the King on the ship. And, of course, the first round of the Sea of Honor tournament has been announced. Who is going to win? The winner of the Sea of Honor tournament gets a Ring of Honor championship title match at a later date. Lethal versus Whitmer, Daniels versus Delirious, Skrull versus Titus, Young versus Gordon, Briscoe versus Ferrara, Page versus Kazarian, Cheeseburger versus Beer City Bruiser, Jay Briscoe versus Kenny King. Who is going to win? It's going to be a battle.
to decide it all. And of course, the women of honor, Brandi Rhodes, Mandy Leon, the recently added Jenny Rose, and Sumi Sakai, world champion. And we got the cruise director, SoCal Val. Special guests, Noelle Foley and Miss Melissa Santos are going to be there. James Ellsworth is going to be there. Huge problem brewing with James Ellsworth and Jenny Rose. Don't forget, the Keep It 100 crew, Conan, Disco Inferno, and Shane Helms are going to be doing a show, Beyond the Darkness, telling some scary tales. And listen, Dave Schrader told me when they do the Beyond the Darkness pub crawl, he's actually going to go and try and summon a UFO from the bottom of the ocean. So if you're into that sort of thing, Dave is going to really be scaring the crap out of you, including me. Colt Cabana and Marty DeRosa doing their unprofessional wrestling show, which is hilarious. A busted open radio with Dave LaGreca is going to be there. Live comedy from Brad Williams, Craig Gass, Marty DeRosa, Silent Q from Impractical Jokers are going to be there. Unfortunately, Ron Funches had to pull out of the cruise. We wish him well. Marty DeRosa will be filling in. He's a hilarious guy. Live music from Fozzy playing three sets, including one all cover song set with special guests. Corey Taylor, Slipknot, and Stone Sour will be there. Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons, King, The Stir, the Dave Spivak Project. You heard him and his music right here in Talk Is Jericho. His new video on YouTube, Cold Empty Streets. Go check that out right now. The Cherry Bombs are here. The Darlings of Rock and Roll. Shoot the Thrill, the world's best female AC/DC cover band. They're coming up on Talk Is Jericho very soon. Blizzard of Ozzy, the world's best Ozzy Osbourne cover band. Listen, if that's not enough to get you on this cruise, I got nothing else for you, man. This is going to be the vacation of a lifetime. Book your cabin now at ChrisJerichoCruise.com and be a part of history. Also sponsoring Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager is Pro Wrestling Tees. You might have heard about it. They're all the rage. Had a lot to do with All In. They are the biggest pro wrestling merchandise store in the world today. Pro Wrestling Tees founder Ryan Barkin is going to be here on Friday to talk all about Pro Wrestling Tees, the most famous of the wrestlers on his roster and the most infamous famous wrestlers on his roster. It's a great show. We'll see you then. In the meantime and in between time, stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy! I've got it bad, got it bad, got it bad. I'm hard for teacher.
The Westwood One Podcast Network.